Ask the Podcast Coach for July 19th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, it is Saturday morning. It's 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and it's time to play Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I'm the slightly frustrated host today. We'll talk about that. Dave Jackson from the schoolofpodcasting.com. Don't go there now because, well, it's not up. Hence the frustrated part. But to the rescue, to save the day, the one, the only food craftsman himself, Ryan K. Parker from foodcraftsman.com, filling in for the immortal Jim Collison. How are you today, Ryan?
I'm doing absolutely well, and I want to thank Jim for going on vacation because it gives me an opportunity to hang out with you live on on the show this morning. So I hope he's having a good time. I know I will be.
Yeah, I just got off the live chat with HostGator, and it's a good news, bad news situation. I have too much traffic, and I'm pounding the crap out of their servers, and I'm a shared host, and I have about... Well, all of my normal websites. Ask the Podcast Coach is down. School of Podcasting is down. That means probably Podcast Review Show, Weekly Web Tools, maybe Logical Loss are all down because I'm using up too many resources and I need to go. Basically, when I get done, I have to reply to an email. They couldn't do anything with me over the chat. And I was like, well, that's kind of awful because I need it in about 15 minutes. So, hence, if you want to see the video today, this is not normal. If this is your first time listening, normally it's askthepodcastcoach.com/live. But today it is davidjackson.org/live because that's one of my few sites that's still remaining. And my apologies for the confusion. But, it's like Ryan was telling me this morning. That's a good problem to have when you have too much traffic. I'm like,
yeah, if that's your biggest problem right now, you know, in the world, you are doing really, really well, actually. So and just rejoice and enjoy it.
Well, I saw the tide coming. I just didn't pull the trigger fast enough. And I've already ordered the School of Podcasting membership site is already on a virtual private server, but it's not live yet because I'm redesigning it. And when I saw this kind of, I saw my traffic going up and up and up. I ordered virtual private a server for the front end of the School of Podcasting, and I just didn't get it moved fast enough before the wave came crashing on me. But enough of my woes. Let's get some phone calls in here. If you want to call the show, we will talk about anything you want. The number is 845-262-2401. That number again, 845-262-2401. Phone lines are open now, and I want to say a special shout out to everyone in the chat room. It's always cool. They actually start showing up early before the show even starts, and we got a nice little group of folks out here. And I always like to throw out. Well, first of all, Ryan, since you're somewhat new, you're usually on the other side. It's weird seeing your face here instead of in the chat room. Well, you're still in the chat room actually, but tell everyone.
Yeah, we got to monitor the situation.
Tell everyone about your podcast.
Well, if you go to foodcraftsman.com, I have a podcast where I talk to basically it's small business owners who have created these specialty food products, these artisan products, and they kind of handle everything from beginning to end. So what we really do is find out why they decided to make this product and sell it or start their business. And it's really interesting. It's a lot of inspirational stories that go on there. And so if you go to foodcraftsman.com, you can check out those episodes and see that there. And I'm getting ready to start season 3, which is coming up here in the next 2 months.
All right. So for those people that just went season, what you talking about, Willis?
Well, since I started this particular podcast, I decided that, I wanted to actually treat it more like a TV season. So I don't feel beholden to release an episode every week. And a lot of the people that I talk to have seasons themselves. So we start getting into October, November, and December. They're really gearing up to try and get that holiday push for their business and sell. So it's really hard at that point in time to get some really good interviews. So early on, I decided that I would do, between 13 and 16 episodes per season and then take some time off to produce some upcoming episodes. and then release them throughout the throughout the season, quote unquote. So each week I'll still release a new one, but I break it up, and it's worked out okay for me. It does slow down, you know, a little of the podcast growth when we're not releasing regularly. And I actually had a thought, and I'm curious to hear what you think about this, because I was thinking about this next time around, maybe doing more of like the Netflix model of releasing episodes and just put out the 13 episodes all in one shot or within 1 or 2 days, just so I don't destroy my Libsyn account. But the reason I thought this is because I was doing some preview shows this past week where I was trying to get some people involved and just letting them know how to actually interact with the show. I kind of broke it down and I did 4 5-minute episodes, and I released those in 2 days. And I noticed that in iTunes, like, I was in the What's Hot category again. And I know that's just because I've got subscribers that, you know, they all received everything. But it actually gave me a boost in terms of I got a few new people contacting me. And I think it's because, you know, I ended up in a couple of those highlighted categories again. So, you know, what are your thoughts about maybe even trying something like that and playing around with that?
See, that's interesting, because the times I've done that, I have a client of mine that does a radio show out of New York. And there are times, she does the radio show. Her tech guy takes the recording, throws it in a Dropbox. I take it, turn around, tag it, convert it, and throw it up to Libsyn. And mm-hmm. we had a problem with her tech guy. He was sick or went on vacation or whatever. So all of a sudden, we had like the week's worth of show, because she does a daily show. And we threw them all up on the same day. And what we found, at least, was the last show up got all the hits, and there weren't a lot of people going back to do the like the other four that were just sitting there.
Interesting. And I never thought about that. So that's a good note to take, because I wasn't sure. Like, I know, like, because I did this last week, I actually got an email from a woman named Heidi, and she said, "Oh, I just found your show on iTunes, and now I'm going back through and listening to your entire catalog." And so I got to thinking, like, well, maybe that might be just a fun experiment. May not be the best practice, but it might be a fun experiment.
What if it got you into these other areas? That's pretty cool, you know, because mm-hmm. I know everybody wants to, you know, how many episodes should I launch with? That's like the new question. Should it be 3? Yeah. Should it be 30? Should it be? And I'm like, you know, I've seen people get into new and noteworthy with one episode, but that person had a very popular blog, and she said, "Hey, everybody go subscribe in iTunes," and off they went, and it worked. So
Joe Taylor in the chat room says, "Michael Hyatt's This Is Your Life has changed to the season model too," which I noticed as well. And I was like, has he been listening to my show? No,
that's
I know Michael Hyatt's not listening to my show. But
big copycat.
Yeah, copycat.
Yeah. I just, he's copying you. You know, you're a trendsetter, man. And,
Well, you know, I don't know if he's going to take a break in between, you know, but he said he was going to do 13 shows. And for this first quote unquote season, ironically, he's had 100 episodes, and he drastically changed his format for the 101st episode. Now he has a co-host, which I'm still getting used to listening to, but he has a co-host now. And so it's more of a conversation between the two, but episode 101 actually is season 1, episode 1.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, because like, are they in their off time now while we're consuming them? You know, maybe, because it looks like they went to a studio, they recorded a bunch of episodes ahead of time, and now they're just going to release them out. And so are they basically down now while we're consuming those, you know, however many episodes are going to be in a season? That's going to be interesting. Yeah. Or are they just working on more? Because that's the whole fun of batching.
That's a good question, because I think that is actually one of the reasons why he wanted to do it was to free up more time. I guess when his old process was taking up too much time. So, yeah, they're in a studio now. He and his co-host, Michelle Cachat, they sit down and they're at a nice big like conference table, and it's really well shot. And they, you know, he's got a whole production team behind it. But maybe he's producing more, or maybe they do, you know, 6 episodes in a day and 6 in the next day, and then they process all those.
The thing that's kind of weird about batch processing, because I tried it for a little bit at the beginning of the year. I was going to do one of my podcasts Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I would just record them all on Saturday. The bad news is if something happens on Saturday, you've now lost a week's worth of shows. So you have to have, that's where everybody, like, you know, most people, they're doing this kind of daily stuff. They have a ton in the can. You need like 20 mm-hmm. or 30 in the can, because if you miss a day, there's a week's worth of show. If you miss another day, there's 2 weeks worth of shows. So you have to really be prepared if that's your route. And that's why I always ask, I've been asking people, they're like, yeah, I'm doing a daily show. And I just go, why? I'm like, well, because that's, isn't that what you're supposed to do? I'm like, well, and then they say, but I don't have enough time to do this. I don't have enough time to do that. I'm like, maybe your lifestyle doesn't lend itself well to doing a daily show. It's, yeah.
And, you know, and if you are going to do a daily show, then, you know, maybe you should, you know, you talked about that, that being a concern with batching mm-hmm. is if you miss the day that you normally do it. Well, if you're going to batch five and only maybe release once a week, you're building that back catalog that you can release. And I think maybe, you know, as I move forward and kind of, you know, get more involved again with delivering my own podcast and recording this, I'm really going to try and get a lot of these interviews, you know, kind of back to back if I can. But it's hard to schedule interviews and have them all on the same day. I don't know. You know, I've listening to Michael Hyatt and some of the others where they say, oh, well, I reserve this day only for, you know, podcasting or interviews. And it's like, gee, you know, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, because when I tell somebody I'm available on Thursday, they go, yeah, that doesn't work for me. I'm like, okay, well.
Exactly.
Saturday? Maybe? No, doesn't. And it's like, yeah, that's, interviews are great. That's, you know, it's one of the fastest ways to grow your audience. But, you know, we do the thing now with the podcast review show where we have people come on live, and that's, you know, we, and then if you have somebody from the UK or another time zone, it gets a little tricky, and it makes things fun. Well,
let me ask you, because I know that you had a coupon out there for a while and a mm-hmm. discount going to get people to come in so you could process a few of those shows ahead of time and have some, you know, mm-hmm. ready to go. Tell me about the process of getting on the podcast review show.
You go to, when it's up, podcastreviewshow.com/review me, and you basically sign up, and at that point, you will be automatically assigned to a email list that I have that automatically then sends you an email that says, hey, thanks for signing up for the podcast review show. Please click here and fill out a form, which is a Google Doc. The Google Doc I then download and extract all the information just about you, which I then send to Eric. And then I look at my schedule and say, okay, we've got, usually we record that on a Thursday. So I'll email the person and say, hey, you know, we have this Thursday available, this Thursday available, you know, do any of those work for you? And usually it's, yeah, it's because we have a couple scheduled ahead of time. So it's usually like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks out. So most people usually don't have things scheduled that far out. And then from there, it's one of the things on that questionnaire is, what episode do you want us to listen to? And so that way it's, you know, it's, you can't say, well, you guys picked the wrong episode. It's no, you picked it. And so they pick it, and then we listen to it, and it's interesting because we both listen to it separately, and then we pull clips from the show, and it's interesting because time after time we pull the exact same clips of what's good and what's bad. And then we have a Google Doc that we type up that says, it'll say like content, Dave, and I'll be like, okay, I like this, and then, you know, things to tweak, and then we'll have a website part, and then so I can see what Eric said and he can see what I said. So we kind of know what we're both going to say. Because it's unscripted. When that person comes on, we talk to them a little bit, and then we play clips and talk about it. And the whole time watching the clock, trying to keep it around an hour. And then, you know, then we do it as a Google Hangout on air, and we record the whole thing. So it's on Google, and then it's turned into an audio podcast, and you go from there. So yeah, that's the whole process. And so you get.
Is there a cost to somebody to get reviewed?
Yeah, it's right now it's $99, and that is, you get myself. Okay, so that's my expertise of being a podcaster now for 9 years, and the view from my chair. So you kind of get the way we kind of have it split up is I'm going to really look at your website and your audio and things like that, and also I'm going to look at your content. And then Eric has been in radio for 25 years and been helping people. He's been a talent coach in radio for years, and has a number one station out where he works. And so he's really looking at the content, but he's also looking at it from an end user point from the website. And so you're getting an unbiased, I guess, number one opinion. And we kind of go over it head to foot and with a fine tooth comb and say, here's what you're doing.
So really, what you're getting when you get a podcast review is you're getting a really nice micro consultancy with the two of you,
yeah,
which is a ton of value right there. So that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. I wasn't sure. I'd heard that you had a discount code for a while. And so I was like, well, you know, I'd be interested to find out actually the process. So if you guys want to call in today, it's 845-262-2401. That's the call-in number. I'll throw that up into the chat room.
Yeah,
Sergeant Fred says, you can schedule interviews to your convenience when everyone is asking you to be on your show, like John Lee Dumas.
Right.
But I prefer the one-to-one human touch for interview scheduling. It works, and it keeps me away from the electronic calendars to fill a slot. And it has worked.
Yeah.
Big names have gone out of their way to give me reserved time on their electronic calendars.
Yeah. Andy White used to be known as Dr. Pod. He's a UK podcast consultant, and he asked me to be a guest on his show. And I am a person that will send you to my schedule, but I say, I'm sorry, I know this seems impersonal, but trust me, it's the easiest way to find a time rather than playing. You kind of play go fish. You know, do you have a 3? No. Do you have a 5? Yeah. No. So it's just like, it's like usually it's Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays are my days. Click here to find the best time. I'm sorry if this seems impersonal, but it's the fastest way. And he was like, no problem. That worked great. So, which was great because he's in the UK. So, sure. You know, it does the whole time zone thing and that whole nine yards.
And I'm using Time Trade.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you use Time Trade at one point in time. I'm using Time Trade. And what I find is it allows, like, because I'll have 6 slots during a week and say, this is when I'm available, or this is when the interview times are, pick one. And it usually is actually very helpful for them because then they can say, okay, this works best in my time frame in my life. And so I know that I can clear this out, and they've picked a spot and they know that it's ready to go. I'm not too concerned about being impersonal when it comes to that. I think it's a time saver, especially if you're going back and forth via email. That's even worse.
Yeah. And I know Gary Leland, who does fastpitch.tv, and he's Mr. Pottertainment and Mr. Podcast Movement. And he was saying that he was being interviewed by somebody and they sent him like a 3-page form to fill out. And he was like, look, I agreed to come on your show. I didn't agree to do homework.
And yeah.
I get that. I understand that people wanted to have an idea of what they're going to talk about, but I think there's extremes on all, you know, on one hand,
yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
As we both do the Chippendale. No, after you. No, after you. No, I think it's great to give people an idea of what your audience is, so they know kind of how to answer the questions and where you're going with it and why did I pick you to come on the show. But on the other hand, yeah, a 3-page form might be a smidge, depending on if it's, you know, fill in the blank or multiple choice.
That's a bit much. Have you ever taken... everybody says, you know, ask your audience, survey the audience, mm-hmm. you know, to get information from, understand what your audience is. Have you ever taken Michael Hyatt's reader survey?
I've heard about it. I think I did. And I just remember it when he talks about it being so long, I don't remember it being, I just remember thinking, wow, it's not done yet. But
52 questions was this last one.
Wow. Okay.
So,
but I guess
I'm sure he's pulling some great information from it.
I think it all depends on, again, if it's fill in the blank or just, you know, click a radio button kind of thing. Because I know at the end, when I teach a class, we have a 2-page survey. And when you first see it, it's like, oh my gosh, look at all the questions. I just want my certificate, Dave. And I'm like, it's one-click answers, kids. I'm like, don't freak out. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be part of it. Have you ever done a survey?
You know, I've done, oddly enough, yeah, I did one this year, just in early February, and mm-hmm. it was just off SurveyMonkey, and I used their free mm-hmm. service, and so it was 10 questions. And I found that, and this was really interesting to me, out of the people that answered the survey, 75% of them were over 50 years old, and they were women, which I wouldn't have imagined. So, and they were business owners, so... That tells you a lot. It tells me a lot about who I should be talking to and how to create my content, because I would have assumed it was kind of this, it would be this younger, hip crowd, you know, the maker communities that we have out there, you know, people out of Brooklyn and San Francisco. But Nope, they're older females who are business owners.
That's very interesting. It's interesting how we have, because we had the guy on last week that thought you had to be old, like you had to be in your 20s to do a podcast. And I'm like, no, everybody in the chat room's in their 40s probably.
Yeah, where I'm just like, I just hit 40 this year.
Congratulations.
I started podcasting. I know. And I just started podcasting 2 years ago. I wanted to do it for a lot longer. I just didn't have the gumption or the time. I didn't know where to begin. And for me, it was, you know, I moved to California and it took me 3 or 4 months to find a job while I was out here. And so I had the time. And so instead of being insane and talking to myself in the apartment, I just tried to start talking to other people. But
yeah. Well, are you going to Podcast Movement?
I am. You know, I'm not. And it was interesting because we do want to talk a little bit about Podcast Movement, but I'm going to throw this question out to the chat room first. And again, you can call in at 845-262-2401. And the question is, what do you think creates a really great conference, whether it's a podcasting conference or a new media conference? But I'm not going. I assumed that it was really actually – really expensive ticket. You know, new media was, you know, their starting price was right around $1,000 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
And I actually just looked it up last night for the first time, Podcast Movement, and it's in the 260s.
Yeah.
267 or something like that for a ticket. And so I was actually surprised at how inexpensive it was, but I didn't have it in the budget this year to go.
Yeah, and what I just heard, Jared Easley was on something like Inspiring Information podcast, because I was like, you know, I should probably do some research on this guy since he's the guy that started it, and I'll probably bump into him, and I don't really know him. And he said they sold 500 tickets to this thing already, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. So, but yeah, so
what do you think you can expect from going to Pi? I know that you're speaking there, so, and you're doing how to tell us the topic that you're.
It's about how to edit your podcast, how to tips on editing in general, and maybe some things to look for, and then things you can do beforehand so that you don't have to edit, and then maybe some examples of bad editing. I heard one the other day where somebody had, I always say edit and then listen to it, and if it doesn't sound like you edit it, you're right. If it does sound like you edit it, maybe that's not an edit you want to do. And this person mm-hmm. sounded, if you're old enough to remember Max Headroom, which was a weird, yeah. If I remember it, it was Coke. Was Max Headroom a Coke thing? It's funny. We remember Pepsi. Max Headroom, but was it Pepsi? Okay.
It was Pepsi.
But he would cut out his, and that's really what their podcast sounded like. They cut out the ums and you knows, but they didn't leave. The reason people go is they're trying to think about what to say next. And when you cut that out, you just end up with this really long rambling sentence. And, so I listened to this and I said, did you do some creative editing here? And she's like, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't sound human anymore. You sound kind of like a robot. So it's kind of a session on how to avoid that, but also how to do it fast. And if you even need to, yes, even if you need to edit, at which point I go, if we don't need to edit, why is there a spell check? So,
I try not to, you know, I edit for time. More than anything.
Yeah.
Because I do like a certain length in my podcast when it comes to travel time. I like to keep it between 20 and 25 minutes. And for me, that's a sweet spot. I don't get bored doing it that way. And hopefully people don't get bored listening to it. So that's where I try to keep mine. I've had a couple episodes, you know, I've had a couple episodes last season where I found the interview very interesting. And so I just stated right at the beginning of the episode, this is going to be a two-parter. I really enjoyed speaking with Scott Ehrenberg, and I want you to hear everything that he had to say. So I'm going to split this up into two episodes. So I just try to keep it consistent in terms of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some folks in the chat room are saying, they're talking about PodCamps, which the great thing about PodCamps is usually they're free or, you know, $5 kind of thing or really inexpensive to get to. The fun thing is finding somebody to organize one, because I know my friend Daniel J. Lewis did one for Cincinnati, and that's mm-hmm. it's a beast to schedule and find a location and get speakers that actually show up and all that other fun stuff. So PodCamps are great. I know we haven't had a pod camp in Cleveland in years, or if they did, I didn't hear about it. But even like,
I've never been to one.
Even a meetup group, I signed up to be the head of the Cleveland meetup group, and it's like anything else. It's not a, if you build it, you will come. You would think that they would notify everybody that, that had said, hey, if they ever start up a Cleveland meetup group, I would go to it. And either nobody did that or there aren't that many people. So now I'm kind of, what I have to do is do a search for like podcast Cleveland and see if there are any local Cleveland podcasters and then pick a day when we can get together. Because I've already talked to the folks at the day gig and they said, yeah, I could use their facility and that whole nine yards. But it's a matter now of finding those people so that we could, you know, meet every last Thursday of the month or something like that. And
I actually, just this last, 2 days ago, Thursday, went down with some people that I met. One of the guys that I met at New Media Expo happens to live 20 minutes from me. So he organized a group and 12 of us showed up and, you know, we just had dinner and talked a little bit about what each of us were doing and kind of just met really, which was fun. It was a great time. I think I would like to see myself do get involved a little more regularly with that, just so I can hear new ideas and help troubleshoot with other people and do those sort of things. That's where I want to be. So let's talk a little bit about podcast movement. I know, you know, their big tagline is, you know, it's a podcast conference by podcast, you know, people. I didn't quote them, by the way. That's not a quote. That's a horrible tagline. But, you know, what do we think is going to be different about this particular one versus, say, you know, going to a New Media Expo? Do you think it's just the intimacy of having a smaller group at this point?
I think that, and I think when Gary got involved, Gary Leland, Gary remembers the days of the early, whatever it was back then, New Media Expo, or Portable Media Expo, I think is what the original one, in Ontario, California. And what was great is at night, we would all just hang around the pool. There was no, you know, it's the something-something party, and you go there, and it's, and you're trying to talk over it. And we just hung out in the pool, and yeah, exactly. Had a couple brewskis and watched the guy in the kilt fall in the pool. You know, it was just hanging out, and it was networking and laughing and getting to know each other. And I think they're trying to go for that kind of vibe where I know there are some, you know, special dinners with the VIP, blah, 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 and they're just trying to, you know, earn their money back or whatever, and I get that. But from what I heard from Gary, they're trying to make it where there'll be plenty of time to connect with other people. And I mean, that's how Eric K. Johnson got on the podcast review show. I was telling him about it. And at the time, my wife was going through some surgeries. And I said, hey, in the event that she can't make it some week, would you want to come on? And he's like, oh, that would be awesome. And I just started to talk to him. I said, well, what do you do when you review somebody on the radio? And he explained what it was. I said, oh, wow, we should do that on the show. And then I came back and my wife said she didn't want to be on the podcast anymore. So I'm like, hey, guess what? You're the permanent host, co-host. So that's how that worked.
Flower.
Yeah. And, but that came about sitting at a meetup for Mike Russell and Music Radio Creative. And it was, we just happened to be sitting next to the couch and I kind of knew of his podcast. And so it's kind of cool to put a name with a face. I mean, last year at the New Media Expo, I got to have dinner with Ryan and some fine folks there. And, I forget the one girl's name that does the one podcast. I forget her name. She had red hair. She seemed like a friend of yours.
Cecily?
Yes, yeah. So she was really
Cecily
cool.
Cecily Korst. Yeah, she does the shoot.
Isn't life fun?
She's going to kill me for not remembering her podcast, for Christ's sake. The Trailer Talks podcast.
Yes, that's Trailer Talks, yeah. So,
which is really like, yeah, she's got it's a great show. She actually does a lot of video podcasting.
Yeah. And so I like that. And then, you know, when you can learn from, you know, when you have a session that's really good, like I really liked Michael Hyatt's session last year at New Media Expo. I talked about that.
I thought his actually was the best. I know that I sound like a fanboy when it comes to Michael Hyatt, but I thought his was the best.
Yeah.
I sat through and I, you know, a couple of them and, you know, I was really excited about what the topic was that was advertised for us to, you know, to get us in, and some of them just didn't even hit the topic. And so I think that's one of the things that, you know, when I go to a conference, I look for the topic to be representative of what's actually being said. There's one of them, I was literally in the front row and I felt bad about this, but I got up and left because it was all about, how they partnered with a big company and that's how they became successful. But it had nothing to do with the topic. That was,
nice. I saw one get heckled. You know. That was fun. They were doing what had happened. It wasn't really their fault. The folks that were running the conference changed the name of their show, of their topic. And I forget what it was supposed to be. And it was supposed to be like using Pinterest and something else and something else. And then, so like halfway through, somebody just said, are you going to ever talk about Pinterest? And they're like, yeah, we can get to that. And it was like, well, yeah, that's the name of the thing. And, 'cause they hadn't talked about what their topic was. And I talked to them later. I said, well, that was kind of a little rough. And they're like, well, that wasn't the original title of the thing. And somebody else had changed it. And I was like, ooh.
The speaker didn't know. That's got to, ooh, that would hurt.
Yeah.
That would hurt me. I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. So that was a little different. But yeah, I've learned some great things. I've also, it's funny because you remember the really good ones and you remember the really bad ones. I saw one. We were all excited. There was a guy from Google, like a real Google employee was going to be there and he was going to do a thing on analytics. I'm like, awesome. I would love to know more about analytics. And it was an hour-long presentation, and 45 minutes into it, he finally pulled up Google Analytics. I couldn't tell you what he talked about, but what was interesting is I'm going to say you have about 7 minutes before you will lose the entire room. Because at first, he started talking and talking, and all of a sudden, about the time my head was like, is he not going to talk about, like, why isn't he pulling up a website or something? And I just looked up, and everybody was looking at their phones and their laptops. They had just completely tuned out. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. So
hopefully. So as you're getting ready to do your speech, and so we can avoid that kind of problem, what is the process that you're going to go through in order to prepare for your topic?
Well, number one, I had to think about how am I going to deliver it? Like, am I going to do live editing there? And I'm like, okay, can I do that and rely on that? Yeah, I can load that software on my laptop. I can, have examples to do some editing. And so I had to think about that. I had to think about it always goes back to who is your audience. So the first thing I have to answer is, do I need to do editing? You know, so that's one question I'm going to ask. What is it? And then to me, what causes editing? Well, if you're really prepared, you should have less editing. So that's going to be kind of point one, like, hey, instead of doing a lot of editing, let's see if we can avoid having to do editing. And then it will be, okay, now that we have figured out we have to do some editing, how do I do it? What are some tips and tricks and things to speed up that process? And then we'll kind of go from that's where I'm at this point. And then I have some examples of things we're going to show that you can, like if you're doing an interview show, things you can do to, like we talked earlier about preparing your guests to be on target. If you can give them a target, that's a huge thing. And just the fact that if you understand that ums and your nos are a way for you to give your brain a chance to catch up with your mouth or vice versa, or your mouth is waiting for your brain to catch up, vice versa. That is really what's going on there. And for me, I do a podcast for a company called Crazy Egg. And it's interesting because I'm actually reading their blog post. And the hardest part of that is to make it sound like I'm not reading their blog post. And it's weird because I don't have to think about what to say. It's right there on the page. And even with that, the person doesn't write in my voice. So I have to kind of read it. And a lot of times I will just read a paragraph and paraphrase it. But even if I know what I'm going to say, you still trip over a word or whatever it is. And my big thing is if I make a mistake and I'm like, yeah, that's got to be edited, I just pause for 10 seconds. Now, 10 seconds doesn't sound like a long time. It's a long time if you look at your watch and actually make it 10 seconds. But that cuts my editing time in half because I can look at the WAV file and know exactly where I messed up. So it's stuff like that, little tips and insights that you can do to get into editing. And then it's a matter of I'm starting to think, like I just listened to Michael Hyatt. It's the Michael Hyatt show today. He did a great episode on doing, for lack of a better phrase, how to avoid death by PowerPoint. And I thought, yeah, right. I need to, make sure to do that and have that there. So, yeah. So it's just one of those things I've started working on because it's going to be here sooner than later. And the other fun thing is I actually did an episode of the School of Podcasting that's going to be very similar to this probably about a month and a half ago. So I'm trying to, number one, I had to get over, I had to realize that, you know what, Dave, not everybody listens to your show. Because I was like, oh, man, how am I going to? And I was like, yeah, but there are going to be people that might come to that did hear that episode. So I'm trying to come up with some additional information, so it's not just a rerun.
Well, the other part too, Dave, is, you know, if they do listen to your show, number one, and they're coming to see you speak, I don't think they're going to mind to hear some of the same information, because even if it were point for point, I'm just listening to you, I know that you'll probably explain it in another way, or you'll have another example to give. And so even if it was the same, you know, similar content point by point. Eileen in the chat room says Max Headroom was the spokesperson for New Coke after the return of Coke Classic. So there you go. She's been surfing for us on Wikipedia. I appreciate that, Eileen. I swear I thought it was Pepsi, but New Coke, which was a marketing disaster.
Yeah. Excellent. But yeah, so hopefully it'll be good. It's the first time. And I think just if they're really going to be 500 people there, to me, I'm like, wow, that's going to be great. Just the networking opportunity should be there. And I know Mike Phillips said I've only heard of a few people speaking there. And so to me, that's kind of cool. On one hand, that I don't know these people, because maybe they're going to bring a different perspective that I'm unaware of. And hopefully it's not, I've never heard of these people because they're, you know, they have nothing to say or something like that. So
I think that's actually a great bonus, to be honest, because if you think about it, a lot of the podcasts that I listen to that are talking about online marketing or internet business or even podcasting, they all have like this certain circle of 6 to 8 people that kind of just recycle through some of these shows. And I think Chris Brogan's podcast, the Owner Mindset, I think it is, for his Owner Mag website, is interesting to me, because what he's talking to a lot of people that you've never heard before, just bringing in different perspectives from, you know, different parts of the world, which is great, because I think if you take some time to listen and understand, you really get the opportunity to relate that back to whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's podcasting, whether it's trying to, you know, build a business online, whether it's just trying to change your attitude about, you know, your daily life. I've been going through a lot of that lately. So I've been doing a lot of self-exploration over the last month or so, which is great.
So Mike Phillips in the chat room says, aren't these supposed to be the industry greats of that? So when I look at this, Chris Brogan is one of the guys that started PodCamps. Jamie Tardy does Eventual Millionaire. Evo Terra runs Podio Books, I think is the website. And I've never listened to, and I'm not even going to pronounce his name. It's, you want to take a stab at that? I went to podcastmovement.com/speakers. I guess I could throw that in the chat room.
Let me pull that up.
I've heard of his show. Here's another one. We talked about this earlier where if you're just kind of everywhere. No, that was actually the consulting call earlier before the show. But if you kind of put your name everywhere, eventually people will just go, well, that's like the fourth time I've heard this person. Maybe I should listen to his show. I'm going to say, Srinivas Rao.
Yes, Srinivas Rao.
Yeah. So I don't know if those are all keynotes. And then I'm looking forward to meeting Jeff Brown. I hear a lot about Jeff Brown. He's a guy, he's an ex-radio guy that now is teaching people podcasting. And you do have
Read to Lead. Is he the same Jeff Brown that does Read to Lead podcast? Yep.
So, but
he's a great guy.
Yeah, there's and then there are some of the you know, Rob Sestorino, the guy from Survivor that does Rob as a podcast, the award-winning Rob as a podcast, and Todd Cochran, and of course John Lee Dumas. And Dustin Hart. So I know Daniel Hayes. I know Eric K. Fisher. But like, I've never heard of Justin Crossley from the Brewing Network. I think so. That name somewhat rings a bell. But there are a lot of people here that I've not, you know, like, who the heck is this Dave Jackson guy? So that's
Who with the gray hair?
With the gray hair. What's up with that?
Hey, I applaud you for switching to that new photograph that you're sending out,
as opposed to the one where I'm.
Look like your high school yearbook photograph before.
I think I was 28 when I took that. So yeah, it's like 20 years old.
There's a couple of people on here, you know, that I recognize, but a lot more that I don't, which is kind of nice. So you know what? I hope this is successful. just because I'd like to maybe, you know, get the opportunity to go next year, you know, and really see.
Well, and I think in some cases we all have our own little bubbles that we kind of hang out in. And so, you know, I know Daniel and Ray and Cliff and you know, you and Mike and everybody in the chat mm-hmm. room, but all of a sudden I'll start talking to somebody from California and there's like a whole other bubble of people that, and they hang out with their little eight friends and all of a sudden you're like, really, I never heard of that. And that's one of the things I love about the segment about Last Five and Five. I'm always hearing about podcasts that I've never heard about before and I'll go check them out. And then you're like, wow, that's really cool. And then people are like, really? You didn't know about, you know, Radio Lab or something? And I'm like, no, I've never heard of Radio Lab. Like, seriously? And I'm like, no. So, and so you learn new stuff and then you go into that bubble and then you find those people that's like, okay, well, they have their friends. And then, you know, so I think there's a lot of little bubbles around that have their own circles of influence, and it's going to be cool that they're all going to mesh together and pop.
Well, and I think that's maybe one of the benefits of having another conference to go to, like that is a little bit smaller. I think there is room for, you know, different levels in terms of size and experience. When you start getting these extra conferences in there, it frees up space for people to, you know, try speaking, you know, that may not normally do it. I know there's a guy on here, his name's Marshall Stevens. I actually met him at New Media Expo, but, you know, I haven't seen him speak anywhere before. And hey, you know, he's a good guy. He and I have gone back and forth on LinkedIn here and there. And, you know, I think it's great because it does give the opportunity for these new voices to be heard and again, make these new connections. And I think that's where kind of the power of this new media and the power of podcasting go.
Yeah. And, I see some folks here talking about snake oil in the chat room. And, so
is that Mike Phillips by any chance?
It is Mike Phillips.
That's
yes.
Like his term. I like
with a
it.
Link to Wikipedia saying, here's what snake oil is for the young people. They're like, what does that mean? Snake oil? Is that like a new protein drink or something? Yeah. It's those folks that come out and say, you know, the classic is the internet marketer that will teach you how to make money from the internet. And he makes money from the internet by telling people how to make money on the internet. And I did have a consulting call this morning and the guy was talking about, you know, he wanted to be a new noteworthy and this and that. And he was, I explained to him, I said, you know, just for the record, you know, not everybody's going to launch with, you know, 5,000 downloads per episode. It just typically,
you know, I have to say something about this. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, I got into some of these featured categories mm-hmm. earlier this week by releasing these four mini episodes. But I really have to say, like, that is, to me, and this is my own humble opinion, mm-hmm. is not the reason to do any of this stuff. Not, you know, to get into new and noteworthy, to be in the, you know, top this and that, and to, you know, make money. I'm all for people making money if they're providing value, they're bringing, you know, something to the table. I'm all for that. But, you know, for that to be your inspiration for doing a podcast, to get in these, you know, top categories, let's just get over that stuff. Let's just stop. Start doing it for the fun. Start doing it because you want to provide some great information for people. You want to teach people. You want to make sure that they're getting something for their time to spend with you, whether it's teaching or if it's making them laugh, anything like that. Let's start getting those values and start talking about those values more for those people that we're coaching on becoming a podcaster and starting a podcast. If somebody were to approach me and say, yeah, I want to be a new and noteworthy, great. You're not the client I want to work with.
Yeah.
The client I want to work with is somebody who really wants to provide that value, whether the value is the education or the value is making somebody laugh or providing something that it's uplifting for their life. That's the client that I want to work with. I don't want to work with someone whose only goal is these random metrics. Now it's nice and it does give you a boost. I totally understand that.
Yeah,
but let's start preaching the values that we want to see in others.
There was a guy, I occasionally will skim through Odesk to see what people are doing over there. And there was a job listing that said, I want to launch a podcast and I want you to make me the most downloaded podcast ever. I want to be the top of iTunes. And so, So I actually signed up. I'm like, here. And I said, you know, I quoted this outrageous amount of money. And I said, oh, by the way, I hope you have the best content on the planet ever. Because it's like, wow. You know, I can't make you popular. Because all if your content is crap, all I'm going to do, and I've said this before, is the world's going to find out really quick that your content is crap. When you go out and just, you know, I bought billboards and this and that is like, awesome, great job. And everybody went, they listened to it and went, yeah, not for me, next. You know, and it's like.
Yeah. All that mean, you know, good marketing only makes poor products fail faster, right? I don't know who said that.
Yeah, that's it.
But I'm stealing it for today. I know it's a quote from somebody who's smarter than I am. So, you know, that's all that it does. So you have to have high quality content to begin with. And you'll work your way up in these different genres if you're providing good quality work. It's as simple as that. You know, all these tricks and tips and this and that, it's horrible.
There was a thing, I wish I had the link, that just came out, 8 strategies you can do to get to new and noteworthy in iTunes. And there were some interesting things like using Reddit and a couple other services, and it basically amounted to buy podcast reviews and a couple other ones. And I was like, really? Mm-hmm. So Angela makes a point here in the chat room that she's looking forward to meeting me at Podcast Movement. And I just wanted to say, anybody that wants to meet me at Podcast Movement, the thing that just, if you just want to just kill me, is when we get back from Podcast Movement, send me an email, say, I was going to say hi, but I didn't want to interrupt you, or you look, no, please interrupt me at Podcast Movement. If you want to come say hi to me and you go, hey, I recognize you from the video. I'm just a dude. Really. I'm just a dude. Ask Ryan. He shook my hand. I'm just a dude. And,
I shook your hand. I had a baked potato with you.
That's right. And, it's please reach out to me at Podcast Movement and, give me a hug, pinch my butt, whatever you want to do. Within reason, I guess we should say.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Well, let's talk about, you know, we talked about launching a podcast, and we had a question come in this week from Chris Anderson. And the question from Chris is, how to stay encouraged when you have few listeners and little feedback when you're launching your podcast?
That kind of comes back to what we were talking about. Like you said, don't do it for new and noteworthy. Do it to help people. Do it to... you know, whatever it is, the why that you got into, the consulting call I had this morning, I asked him first things first, okay, why are you doing this? And he's a business owner. He's like, I want to drive business through my traffic. I want to drive business to my traffic. Yes, I want to drive traffic to my business. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. And we looked in, but that was like his why. And I'm like, okay, so let's put some things in place to make that happen. But yeah, it's tough when you first start out. And, you know, my favorite is people want to start off and they want to do it live. And I'm like, oh, please don't. Because it's just social proof that nobody's listening when you first start out. Do that for, you know, a few months, if not a year, and then maybe think about doing it live. For me, hopefully you have enough episodes in your head that you just can't wait to talk about. And also, I forget what marketing show I was listening to. They said that it's something between 1 and 3% of your audience will actually send feedback. And so if you're only getting, you know, let's say you're getting 50 downloads an episode. Whatever 3% of 50 is, he said, looking for his calculator. You know, so when you get an email,
1.5.
Yeah, 1.5. So when you get 1.5 emails, congratulations, you're right where you need to be. And in some cases, people forget that you don't get what you don't ask for. So if you want people to leave feedback, leave comments, things like that, you got to ask for it. And so many times we're just like, okay, thanks. We'll see you again next week. And it's like, you never mentioned that, or make sure it's easy to contact you. I see a lot of people have about pages, but they have no contact page. And if somebody wants to contact you and they have to find it, you're like, oh, well, my stuff's at the bottom of the about page. Well, they go there and they're looking. Most people, I think, are looking for a contact page. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say, basically. And just the easiest way to not grow your audience is to quit.
Right. That's what John Parker says there. He said, you'll never succeed if you quit. So that's good advice, John. It's definitely important to kind of keep plugging away. And if you're doing it for yourself or you're doing it for, you know, you said you had a consultancy call this morning and, you know, he wants to drive traffic to his business. That's totally legitimate.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate reason. It's not to, you know, as Mike Phillips would say, be a snake oil salesman and sell false hope and false products and stuff like that. Angela Hemmons says, my hubby won't let me pinch your butt, Dave.
Okay.
So,
and actually, the sad thing is I don't have a butt. It's part of a Jackson trait. Yeah. I'm not going to show it on camera, but it's just
thank God for that.
It's a board, and it's you'd have to search. It's the revealing show today.
Yeah. Well,
thanks. No. But you know, and if it is a case where you're at the proverbial episode six and it's just not fun, now you could take a pause and regroup, because Ryan, what happens if you decide to pause?
No one's going to punch you in the face.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe regroup, come back. I mean, Michael Hyatt regrouped at episode 100 because, and one of the reasons why, he thought it was going to be more fun than it was, and he didn't dislike it, but he thought he would like it more if he had a co-host.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, a great reason. And I think the one great thing about all of this stuff is what's great about it. And I hear, you know, I see people joining us in the chat room that I listen to. It's our own product. And I think that's the great thing. And so if I want to take 6 months and not do an episode, so be it. You know, if I'm going to, you know, tinker around with how I want to release episodes, it's mine. I get to do that. That's the great part. So unless you're doing some sort of enterprise podcast, like your normal co-host, Jim, who's, you know, has some restrictions as to what he can do or how he can release his shows because he's doing it for, you know, a workplace.
And, right.
You know, have fun with it and just try something different. Do 5-minute episodes, do an hour long episode if you've got the content for it, but take the time to really enjoy what you're doing here. I think that's the most important. I think when we start podcasting, we start looking for numbers and we start looking for growing our audience, et cetera, we start to put this really undeserved, unnecessary pressure on ourselves. And it shows in the actual podcasts that we're doing and the episodes that we're doing. You can tell you're not having fun anymore.
Yeah, I actually put out an episode. The longest podcast I've been doing is called The Marketing Musician. Now it's been through a couple different name changes and such. And I announced mm-hmm. to them, I said, you know, very soon, probably at the end of the year, I'm going to leave the show. I think I've said all I need to say on this subject. And it's harder to find content, blah, blah, blah. And my audience said, look, don't kill it. Do it whenever you want. We're not going to punch you in the face, basically. And so yeah. I said, well, I'll try to do one a month. It may not be 20 minutes long. It may be 4 minutes long. But if I find something worth telling you about that I think you'll value, I'll put out an episode. If I don't, then you're not going to get one. But okay, I won't quit. And you know, I usually say this in all my podcasts. I'll put out an episode that says this is the last one. We're done. You know, thank you for listening. Yeah. And so, yeah, so they were fine that I went to a whenever I can do an episode or schedule.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's like, I love getting feedback and everything like that, but I also need to take time for myself. Addie Sausado.
What a great question.
Say that right, Addie. What are some basic tips for meeting people at a conference? I know I'm going to get nervous meeting the podcasters I listen to and follow, and Dave, you are one of them.
Nah.
Smiley face. So do you have any tips? I know I've got a couple that Well, actually, Addie, I think one of the great things that you're doing already is you're getting yourself involved in their world before the actual conference. So you're here, you're participating in the chat room. So Dave already knows kind of your face and knows the name at least. And so it makes it that much easier if you happen to walk by someone in the hallway and you can say, hey, I'm Addie. I've been in the chat rooms and I've been talking with you, you know, on Saturday mornings. Already you're going to have that connection with someone. And I think that's really one of the best ways to do it, is to start creating that relationship beforehand. So get out there and, you know, even if you just kind of do a little cyber stalking, get to understand a little bit about what they're about, and then email them and say, hey, I'm looking forward to meeting you at the, you know, X and Y conference. I hope I run into you in the hallway. Take care. Have a wonderful day. And just leave it at that, because you've already kind of given that a little icebreaker. So I think that's one of my key things, is knowing people before the conference. And I think that's why it was so easy for me, you, and Rennie and Cecily. You know, the first night of New Media Expo, we sat down and had dinner, and it was kind of like we were old friends because we had already had several conversations beforehand.
Yeah, Joe Taylor has a great thing. He says, don't throw your business card in their face. I think I was guilty of that at like the first expo. You'd be like, hi, I'm Dave Jackson. Here's my card, blah, blah, blah. And people are like, it's kind of like, hi, list on my podcast. Well, who are you again? Do I even want your card? Mm-hmm. So I usually just go up and say, hi, I'm Dave. What brings you to the conference? And they'll say, oh,
yeah, that's a really great question.
Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, hey, Dave, nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm, you know, Steve. And I came here. I do a blog. I blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, really cool. And what I love to do is I'll meet somebody in the lunch line and I'll find out that they do, you know, a fishing show. And mm-hmm. I think I did this at the expo. I introduced Ryan to some guy that did fishing, and I go, oh, you need to talk to this guy. He can tell you how to cook the fish because Ryan's a chef.
Right. Yeah.
And so
there is it's a lot of great connection there, and kind of making that relatable to one another is finding the common ground is great.
Yeah. And so for me, that takes, it's weird. It's just something that over the years I've had to get used to just walking up to strangers and going, hi, I'm Dave. You know, what brings you to the conference or whatever. And part of that is something I've done playing in a band. When I go on break, I go out and just talk to strangers and just ask them what's going on. Are you guys celebrating anything out here? And it's hard to do. It's not easy, but it does. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And I've yet to have somebody punch me in the face. So
you got to work that in. Well, you know, Mike Phillips brought up a good point too. And, you know, he talked about, you know, kind of killing that star worship mentality that you have. I was like that too. But New Media Expo this past year was the first conference other than, you know, culinary and restaurant conferences that I've ever been to. So I did feel like a fish out of water. And, you know, Mike says, you know, basically go to your church or work and ask people at your work whether or not they've heard of these podcasters that you want to meet, and you'll find out that nobody there may have ever heard of them. It, you know, to the point being, all of us, no matter, and I'm not by any means, no one knows who I am, number one. I mean, you know, six people in the world know who I am. But, you know, if you see somebody that you think is famous or you think is a star, realize that they're just people. And for the most part, and one of the great things about kind of the podcasting community is everybody seems to be pretty darn sociable and real. So I think, you know, 80-90% of the people that I met were just, you know, normal folk.
Yeah, that's basically it. And the only thing I would say that I've seen people do that I'm like, ooh, is they'll go, hi, I'm Dave. Let's say I know Ryan. I go up to Ryan. Hey, Ryan. Man, it's great to meet you. I listen to your podcast. I love it. And maybe this is like between sessions. They're like, can I interview you right now? I don't know how I feel about it, because I've seen people that want to basically, quote, if we put up our air quotes here, you know, you find a, quote, star, you finally get to meet the person, and what you want to do is monopolize their time. And it's like, I've seen people go, I'm not sure that's the approach I would use. I could see, let's introduce ourselves, let's get to know each other. Oh, by the way, do you have any free time during the conference that we could maybe squeeze in an interview? But I don't know if I would lead with that. It's like, hi.
I think really kind of expand on that point is to go with no agenda. Mm-hmm. If you go there and your whole goal is to help others or just to, you know, be friendly, that's well enough, you know, and if you don't have this agenda of, you know, wanting to be on their show or getting an interview for your show or, you know, taking up their time, there's a great, I've been listening to a great book this week called Choose Yourself by James Altucher. If you get a chance, go listen to it. But really what he talks about is the idea of just figuring out how you're going to save a life every day. And that could just, and save a life could mean just be, you know, giving somebody some positive reinforcement, saying hello, asking them how they're doing. And I think if you kind of take that mentality moving into, you know, when you're meeting these people in new situations, it's like if you met somebody at a grocery store, you know, you don't have any agenda. You bumped into somebody that you might know at the grocery store. So talk to them, ask them about themselves. I think that's really important. I think one of the things that happens is, you know, people will come up to, you know, somebody that they consider a celeb in these little conference worlds and expect and say, introduce themselves. Hey, hey, I'm Ryan. Nice to meet you, Dave. And then expect you to kind of entertain them instead of just having a real personable conversation. I think that's one of the things that I like doing. Just make sure it's real.
Yeah. And if you're not sure what to say, you know, what brings you to the conference? If it's halfway through the conference, have you attended any good sessions? And just get it talking, and you know, where you're from is always good. You know, there's all sorts of things just to get the ball rolling.
Or just say, you know, or stop by. You know, I just stopped by to say hello. I don't want to take up any of your time. I just wanted to meet you. Maybe I'll catch up with you later in the conference and we can chat. But one of the things that I, you know, want to say, and this happened to me at New Media Expo this year. We were at one of the after parties, I think, that first night when we went to the bowling alley in Vegas.
There's a great idea. There's a nice quiet place to chat.
It was a nice quiet place to have, you know, a networking event, but it worked out fine. I was standing there and I was talking to a couple people and we were just having a good conversation. And I turned to my right and I noticed that there was this nice young lady who looked scared out of her pants. She looked just so like, cause you know that she came to the conference and she didn't know anyone. And so I just turned to her and I said, "Hey, come on over here. What's your name?" And invited somebody else into the conversation. Is what that does is later on, you know, she's like, after the show, she emailed me. She, you know, wanted to say thank you. And it was just a matter of getting them involved. And I think you get more of these more people involved and you're perfect. I think that's a big bonus. So try to make some connections.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Because there are those people that are like, I don't know anybody here. And you walk in and you feel like you're the new kid at school. And it's like, just invite them on over. Because you never.
And I used to be the person that stood there and was scared and not, you know, and wouldn't say anything to anybody. And I still get that way some way.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, that's
Joe
me too.
Taylor. Yeah. And it's a matter of, you know, my emotional state or my attitude at the time. Joe Taylor says, "Can't wait for Ryan's book. They're not going to punch you in the face." Joe, if I write a book, I promise you that will be the title of my book. Gosh, I never thought of that, Joe. Thank you for writing that down. That made me laugh. I was giggling over Dave there for a minute. Well, Dave, it's 8:35. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I guess we should start the end music.
And by the way, I'm in California, so it's 8:35 for me this morning.
Kudos to you, my friend. Holy cow.
Yeah, I got up early. I set up my new set for you. You see that in the background?
That is beautiful. What is it? Oh, is that your little retractable screeny thing?
No. This is actually a $60 roll of photograph paper, and it lights really well. So we can talk about that some other time. But I wanted to get away from the flat white background that everybody else was doing.
I've gone with the messy. Let's go with the real life. You know, family pictures, couple mixers, microphones. I'm like, I need something that looks kind of podcasting, but homey. So I threw the family pics up there.
No, it looks good back there.
So. And I found out today that if you throw a empty water bottle at a lighting light, it will break, even if it's empty. I was like, what? I broke something with an empty water bottle? So,
Was it hot?
Yeah, I think so. It's like the waste basket was over there, and I just barely nicked the thing. And what was weird is it didn't go, psh. It's one of those curly Q thingies.
Yeah.
And I look up, I'm like, wow, I just broke a corner off of a light bulb. I'm like, I've never... In general, don't throw things at your light. That's the takeaway for today. And we should also mention, if you want to start a podcast, go to schoolofpodcasting.com, use the coupon code ASK20, and you can save $20 off your first month. Ryan from foodcraftsman.com, you survived yet another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach, man.
I did. I was nervous, you know. It's not my normal show. Hey, thank you guys so much for coming into the chat room. And next week, you can call in at 845-262-2401. But lots of great questions in the chat room. Lots of great conversation. Dave, thank you so much for having me on here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, we'll be here next Saturday at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And we will see you then. Thanks to everybody. And enjoy the rest of your weekend.